Chad, you just sent a message about 10 minutes ago saying you needed 10 more minutes. Are you sure you don't need another 10 for your voice?
My voice will be okay. I'm going to get there. I got water. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is Championship Week Video Notebook, day number 10 of a seven-day week.
It's a longer week. Championship weeks, they exist in a parallel universe.
I'm Chad Sherwood. Over in the puppet bunker next to me is David Griggs. Down below, we've got John Stalica. We've got not as busy of a day as yesterday, but we had a fairly busy day today. Three championships were handed out in conference tournaments, a lot more interesting games. But we'd like to start the show with some news and notes before we get on to all the conference tournament play. So why don't we start things off actually in the American, where we saw a very interesting game, Memphis at Houston. What a game, though, David, where Boogie Ellis ties it up and then Houston gets the half court lead for the win.
Yeah, Houston played, Houston too, but Memphis really played well in this game. I think it goes to show you how much better they are than their paper right now for them to go into Houston and take them down to the wire. They went through some scoring droughts where they had trouble scoring from the field, but still stayed in there. The defense was really good. And I don't know what was crazier. The play in the sequence that led to Memphis tying the game, which involved a three-pointer that missed everything, banked off the backboard, hit off someone's head, bounced off the bottom of the backboard, was kicked back out, and on the rebound, they sunk a three. That was pretty crazy in and of itself. And then in less than 2 seconds, Houston banks in a three-point shot to win the game. If you watch nothing else at all today, watch the last 10 seconds of that because it was crazy.
Yeah, Trayman Marks' three-pointer to win the game. It was just, the team went nuts. It was crazy. But when that Memphis – did we lose me there?
No, you're here.
Okay. What that Memphis really could use if they wanted to make the NCAA tournament. They might need to win the AAC now.
I think they do.
John, the SEC, we saw Tennessee knock off Florida for finally bounce back and get a decent win. So congrats to the Vols.
Well, the Vols had been sliding a little bit in recent weeks, but that's understandable when your company suddenly features Alabama, Arkansas, LSU, and Missouri, among others. But it's one step in the right direction for the Vols, but I still think they're going to be a first ballot team this week.
Oh, yeah. They're in on the first ballot. I mean, they may not be protected seed, but they're definitely first ballot.
David, Big 12 action. Baylor, Texas Tech was in for about a half, and then Baylor just turned on the gas. And I mean, what a week by Baylor. Three huge wins in 1 week.
I mean, again, everybody in that conference is really good, but they had to lift some heavy, heavy weight this week, and that leads into the conference tournament. If they win the conference tournament, which it looks like they're good enough to do, they might have the best resume ever of a team that did not end up as the overall number one seed.
I don't know. I think there's a case that they could be the overall number one seed with what they did this week, especially if they win this Big 12 tournament and get it's going to be two more very good wins in the semifinals of the championship. We've got a Big 12 tournament. Final four of the Big 12 tournament is going to be better than most Final Fours, as will it be the Final Four of the Big 10 tournament. So it's crazy. But speaking of the Big 10, though, John, Iowa knocks off Wisconsin, Michigan, but although Joe Wieskamp is a bit of a question mark, he went out with an injury, so some issues maybe for the Hawkeyes.
It was also a little bit tougher, seeing as how Wisconsin wasn't exactly a bit of a pushover for the Hawkeyes. And then the other notable thing post-game, Luke Garza's 55 was retired by Iowa.
Yeah, so he doesn't have a jersey to wear if he decides to come back next year.
Yeah, it's real interesting. Like, I don't think he has a jersey to wear for the Big Ten tournament.
David, also, Michigan State beats Michigan. Huge, huge win that I think almost may make Michigan State a lock for the NCAA tournament now, as that is.
Yeah, it is. And again, after getting boat raced in their previous meeting, getting the win the day, and they're sort of straddling the bubble, I think this helps skip them inside of it. It probably does.
Upset loss. Maryland loses a home game to Penn State. I think Maryland is still there, but
they were out cute big in this game too and just fell apart.
Yeah, Maryland a little schizophrenic this year. I think that they are still there. It was a bit of an epic collapse. Maryland with a lot of good wins on their resume, but they have, you know, multiple losses that should have been winnable games. Again, I still think that they're in there, but they their profile isn't anywhere near as solid as it could be.
Let me tell you why I still think Maryland is a solid lock. Who would you put there in their place? Boise State, St. John's, Seton Hall? Chad, sure. Hit your buzzer, please.
No. I agree that there is a question mark. Could be a question mark around Maryland. They get Michigan State in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, so it's not going to be a bad loss. But you know, they're probably not a first ballot team, but they should be in. I'll put it that way. Salika, Oregon, congrats to them. They do capture the Pac-12 regular season title by beating their rivals, Oregon State. So. But that was it for the notable regular season games. I know we could do about 3 hours on Cincinnati, East Carolina. Yeah. I know, Salika, you'd be up
Please
for that,
don't.
Definitely. All right. Then let's move on to the actual conference tournament games that were played today. And we are going to start things off with the Missouri Valley Conference title game between Drake and Loyola Chicago. And Salika, we thought that Loyola would win the game. I think Drake showed a little bit more that I thought they would even in this game, but Loyola does get the championship with the automatic bid.
Yeah, I think that Loyola is now at a point where they could arguably wearing white in the first round. And if you're a team like Drake right now, I'm probably making a lot of cold calls to teams like Winthrop, Morehead State, seeing if they can get at least one more game in before Selection Sunday.
I'll cut you off on that one because there was a maximum of 27 regular season games and Drake hit the maximum. They don't have room to add another game in their schedule.
They can forfeit a game, can't they?
I don't think it'll help them to schedule a game and forfeit it. So. So Drake is going to be is what they are, I believe, heading into Selection Sunday. So we'll see what the committee does. I think they're gonna be a close call. David, I think they'll be like a first four team, but I think they're gonna get in.
They feel first four. I kind of agree with your sentiment. It wouldn't shock me if they were left out. Not being at full strength is going to be probably talked about as well, but I don't know. What are you, 60-40 them in? That's about where I am.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, 25-3 in this season? It's an impressive record. I think it's 25-4. Big South Conference. Championship game between Winthrop and Campbell. And we thought maybe Campbell, with the way they played David at Radford, would have a shot in this game. Boy, were we dead wrong about that one.
Yeah, Winthrop just blew this open, capping off what really was an amazing regular season, only one loss during the year, and really looking good in both the semifinals and the finals, really through the whole tournament. I didn't realize until just now, looking at the bracket, they won every game by 20 points or more. So really going into the NCAA tournament with a full head of steam, a dangerous opponent. Do you see them inside the bubble? I think you do.
Now, I think they're on the 12 line, which is where the first four is going to end up also. But I think when you see the final seed list, they'll probably be maybe the top team below the first four, the second team below the first four. But either way, I think they're on the 12 seed, which is the same line as at-large teams are going to be.
Okay.
John, Atlantic Sun Conference Championship game. It was meaningless because Liberty had the automatic bid no matter what. But, they started out real strong at North Alabama, but the Lions came roaring back. No pun intended.
The Lions came roaring back, but were unable to, take the lead in the final minute in regulation. And Liberty will end up getting a true championship out of here as opposed to having – let's say a dual celebration on the floor that Chad was hoping for.
Yeah, it would have been really fun just to see Liberty having the ticket punched board on one end and North Alabama with an ASUN title trophy on the other end of the court. Not going to happen. Liberty, a big thing was they made their free throws late to get this win. I think they only missed one free throw the entire game. Real good free throw shooting team.
Yeah.
And that could help in them. And David, like a 13 seed, I think, for the Flames.
Yeah, and another under the radar team with a really bloated record that didn't play that many bye games.
We had semifinals in a couple of conferences today, beginning in the Sun Belt, which was this evening, and we had a pair of games in the Sun Belt, David, that were really interesting. Starting with Georgia State, where Louisiana came from way back to come all the way up and tie Georgia State late, but then Georgia State just kind of put their foot down and said, "We're going to win this game."
Yeah, you pretty much described it. Georgia State appeared to be in control. Then Louisiana came charging back. Georgia State holding on, but again, not a real, you know, they're not really moving forward with a whole lot of confidence. But fortunately, I guess neither is App State, that while the game was exciting, it went into overtime. It wasn't the most well-played game that you've ever seen in regulation either.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was a game where App State didn't bother. They couldn't hit a field goal in the final 9 minutes of regulation. Also fouled a three-point shooter in the final 10 seconds. Although, if you saw the replay, there is a debate as to whether he was really in the act of shooting, but that's how it was called. And they still end up surviving in overtime.
Yeah, they do survive. And that was, I think it was a bad call. I agree with you. That Coastal Carolina down through with 10 seconds left, App State trying to foul instead of giving up the three-pointer. And he gets fouled and throws up the shot, and the ref actually called it a shooting foul. Made all three free throws. That's why we ended up.
It was also notable because App State was supposed to have a foul to give in that situation, but at the very last second, the Coastal player makes a very smart move and goes into the act of shooting, even though it wasn't really a textbook shot.
Yeah, and then even then, Coastal went down three with about 6 seconds left at the end of the overtime. Huge steal by App State to run out the clock and seal the win. So, David, how about this? Georgia State, App State tomorrow night for the Sun Belt Championship.
I got to go with Georgia State. I've liked them all year. I've always got the feeling that their ceiling's higher than what they've been playing. I think they get it done tomorrow.
Yeah, interesting that I kind of like the West Division and this East-West divide here in the Sun Belt most of the season better than the East, but you know, they didn't play each other during the regular season. There was no cross-divisional play, and three out of four semifinalists and both finalists came out of that East Division. So maybe I was wrong about which division was better when they started playing each other, at least. John, it was also semifinal day in the SoCon, which saw UNC Greensboro, East Tennessee State, followed by Mercer taking down VMI.
It was not easy most of the way for a Greensboro. They were trailing a bit early on, but in the second half, they gradually did pull away. And Mercer, I mean, this was a team that started off the season well and actually ended up pulling away from VMI in the second half themselves. So when you're looking at November, December, this was not a far-fetched potential matchup for the SoCon championship.
Yeah, but we do have the 7 seed here. I believe it's the second year in a row we've had the 7 seed in the SoCon championship final, David. What do you see tomorrow? Do you think Mercer can keep it going?
It's not impossible. This is a Mercer team that, similar to Georgia State, had a really high ceiling. We were really impressed with them early. They didn't always play up to it. I would argue that throughout most of conference play, they were a bit of a disappointment given how good they looked at times. Having said that, I do think Greensboro is the better team, but Mercer, not your typical 7 seed either.
Yeah, I think it could be a real good game. I think both these championship games, the Sun Belt and the Southern tomorrow, could be real good games. Those are the only two championship games that are going to be played here on Monday night. So we will have two more bids awarded Monday night. A couple of conferences that were in the quarterfinal round, including the Colonial. I've got a lot to talk about here. David, let me start with you. Let's go one game at a time. You're starting with the James Madison Elon game, which, you know, I mean, Elon here, a controversial play that gave them the lead late in the game if they'd been down for most of the game and ended up winning it. After fouled while shooting a three-pointer and then a technical called on the head coach, ended up being a 5-point play for Elon, and found out afterwards that the technical was for the coach arguing when not standing in the coach's box.
Yeah, kind of a most
BS technical ever, you know, really.
It was, and it ended James Madison's season after, I mean, after having a really impressive run. You know, they lose a key player to an injury, and then they get eliminated largely due to a questionable call like that. Just real unfortunate. And not to take away from Milan, because while that helped them get them over the top, they had played, they were right in there the whole game. They were in that situation, but still kind of, yeah, a ridiculous ending to there.
It was. And Stalica and John, in the second game of the day, the Hofstra-Delaware game, it was a lot closer even than that 8-point final. It was a late 7-0 run that gave Hofstra that win.
Yeah, Hofstra has had their path clear up a bit here for a potential title game, but we'll see just how fortunate Elon will be in their game tomorrow night.
Yeah, and in the late games, John, Northeastern was actually down at the half to Bill and Mary. This was I think they only had 7 players in this game here. 2 of their starters weren't playing for medical reasons. Northeastern just coming off a COVID pause. The implication, although not, you know, that it was possibly related to positive tests, although we don't know that for certain, so I'm not going to, no conjecture there. But Northeastern found a way, though, in the second half to just crush Bill and Mary.
Yeah, there are several teams in the Colonial that have been rusty for COVID reasons. So it really is going to be anyone's potential conference to win here.
Yeah, and David Drexel had a big lead over Charleston, and Charleston tried to come back late in that game.
Yeah, Drexel holding on. Another team that's been sort of hot and cold this year, but I don't know. Hofstra, yeah, you know, you mentioned them earlier. They won this event last year. We were kind of expecting big things out of them this year. At least I was. They've been a little disappointing, but here they are with a wide open path to get back to the title game.
I'll tell you what, I see a Hofstra Drexel championship game here. Also, if Northeastern is going to be down 2 starters, they can beat William & Mary. I don't think they can beat this Drexel team.
And I kind of agree with that.
John, what are you looking at for tomorrow?
I'm probably looking at Hofstra and Drexel as well.
All right, so we're all going Hofstra Drexel. Maybe we can get that alive. Maybe we get that 8 seed into the finals. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I'll give credit to Rocco. He called this a lot of team when they still had no conference wins as a team that was about to break out, and they sure have. So, hey, we'll give Rocco Miller a shout-out on them.
Yeah, I don't know how he managed to do that, but he did.
One more conference that was in play today. It was the Summit League, the final 2 quarterfinals, with the first game with Oral Roberts beating North Dakota. I guess the final score was an 11-point game. I don't think it was ever that close. And then North Dakota State was up 22 points on Kansas City, and we thought that game was over. But, John, we finally had a good finish in a Summit League game in the late one.
Yeah, Billy Donlin's team came charging down the stretch, but unfortunately we're not able to come up with a potential game-tying shot, and North Dakota State ended up hitting 2 free throws to close out regulation.
Yeah, it was an amazing comeback by Kansas City. 22 points down, that they went on like a 33-13 run to close within 2. It was absolutely crazy. But David, that sets up South Dakota State, Oral Roberts, South Dakota, North Dakota State. I think we're in for a real fun night tomorrow night in the Summit.
Yeah, and this tournament normally is fun. It was kind of a crazy day today. Well, it always is, but. Yeah, I'm thinking South. Are we getting? I know you like this North Dakota State team, but I think we're getting an all South Dakota final.
I mean, South Dakota State's down some players also with health issues. I'm kind of seeing North Dakota State or Oral Roberts, so I'm going against you on both games. How's that sound?
Well, you're wrong, but you know, like I always say, Chad, you're allowed to be wrong.
That's it for the games that were played today. We do have 3 conferences that are either back in action or starting tomorrow. 2 conferences that are back in action that we did not play today, beginning with the West Coast Conference. After our show we finished last night, Pepperdine did hold on to beat Santa Clara. So they get BYU in the late game tomorrow, the Zags against St. Mary's. We're not even going to discuss the Zags-St. Mary's game because that would be a complete waste of time. But how about the BYU-Pepperdine game? Can Pepperdine upset BYU? I think that's the only question. Am I right, John?
Well, I think Pepperdine's certainly going to have the capability here because Lorenzo Romar has had some occasional postseason success as far as the conference tournament goes. But BYU, I mean, they're not exactly a bubble team like they've been in recent years, so not quite the same urgency as Pepperdine coming into this game.
David, any comments at all about the Gonzaga-St. Mary's game, or should we just move on?
We should really, I think this is going to be one of the most chalky semifinals that you'll ever see, in one of the most chalky tournaments that we've seen so far. I don't even think either game is close, and I don't think the championship game is close either. That's how much I like this BYU team.
I think that we have a chance for a close game in the BYU Pepperdine game. That's all I'll say. And I don't think Pepperdine wins it, but I think they could hang with BYU for maybe 30 minutes or so. We are also back in play in the very first conference that started championship week. They've been off for about a week now, but we're going back into the Horizon League finally with semifinal day. Cleveland State against Milwaukee and Oakland against Northern Kentucky tomorrow night. David, let me start with you on this one. What do you see happening tomorrow night's games?
I think it's going to be Cleveland State, Oakland, but I think both games will be a little bit more exciting than what Oakland, Northern Kentucky is probably going to be a good game. I was kind of all in on Milwaukee. It was kind of hard to not be impressed with, how they looked in their first two games. But sometimes when you get a 6-day break, your momentum can slow down a little bit. Cleveland State can regroup a little bit. I think they're going to get it done.
That's why I think I'm gonna do it again to you, David. I'm going Northern Kentucky and Milwaukee tomorrow.
Well, again, you're wrong.
John, you want to break the tie on that?
All kinds of wrong.
Well, I'm not sure if Oakland played enough by game level competition to prepare themselves for the Horizon here, but Northern Kentucky, they do have a history of winning this event when the chips are kind of stacked against them. But I still think no matter who wins the Cleveland State Milwaukee, it's going to be NKU's tournament to win.
I'm with you, John. David's wrong. We've been outvoted 2-1.
All you all are wrong. You're just wrong. Just wrong.
We have only one other conference in play tomorrow. It's the very first day in what's going to be a conference that we're going to be talking about every single day for the rest of our video notebooks here, actually, because it's a very elongated, stretched-out tournament here. It is Metro Atlantic Day. It is the beginning of the first round. We have a single game tomorrow night. The Canisius Rider 6-11 game is Monday. The other two first round games won't be till Tuesday. Quarterfinals will be split between Wednesday and Thursday. Then you'll see Friday games, Friday semifinals, Saturday championship. Canisius and Rider, I don't know that it merits much discussion, but let's go to the bigger question here. And John, let me start with you. Who's going to win the Metro Atlantic tournament here?
I think the smart money probably would be on Siena, but I keep waiting for a team like Monmouth, for example, to finally have a breakthrough tournament here.
David, I kind of like the St. Peter's team, actually. Shaheen Holloway there in the mix for the Fordham job, among other things.
Why would he do that?
I think we would step down, honestly, from St. Peter's.
Yeah. I like the Peacocks as well, but I still have to kind of go with Siena.
Okay. Do you want
Chad's
to call
wrong again?
Do you want to call a Rider Canisius upset or no?
No.
Okay. Canisius should win tomorrow easily.
Yes.
That's it for the games today and the games tomorrow. So let's head to our survival board.
Okay. Yeah, the survival board.
Here, this is if you look up on the website here, click on the NCAA Tournament Survival Board tab. It's right below the Conference Tournament tab for Conference Tournament Brackets. And you can scroll down and see. This is the number of teams remaining with a chance to win the national championship, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that is it. That's how many. And we're cutting it down. We've eliminated about 120 teams.
We're supposed to have yesterday's where we were yesterday. We don't have that up here, so I don't know where we were as of yesterday. But as of today, we're down to 217. I believe we were in the 230s yesterday. I apologize for that. We had a minor glitch there, but 217 teams remain with a chance. I believe we're at 232 heading into the day. So we lost about 15, 16 teams today. But teams are noted in various different manners here. For example, there are some teams here like Morehead State and Loyola Chicago. They are in bold and all caps. And this is for the service for the committee, correct?
Yeah. The selection committee comes to this board and then they know who they're supposed to be selecting and who they're supposed to be looking at, and then who they don't need to worry about unless they win the auto bid.
Correct. So bold and all caps means you've clinched the auto bid.
Yes.
So you are in. So they definitely going to have to discuss Loyola Chicago and Morehead State, at least in terms of seeding. Actually, only in terms of seeding, not in terms of whether or not they're in.
Right,
not,
yeah.
Because they are in.
Yeah.
John, what about these teams that are in just bold, like Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Missouri?
Well, they've already more or less going to have their tickets punched right here. They'll probably be on our first ballot when we send in our Hoops HD mock committee ballots to Chad later in this week.
Yeah, but when the real committee comes here, they're going to see them, and they know that they should not be debating whether those teams are in or not. They're in.
Right, yeah.
When you get these teams that are in italics, so these are the teams that they should debate. So we get Boise State, Colorado State, Utah State, teams that they should be discussing in or out.
Yeah.
And then the teams that are just regular type should only be considered if they win an automatic bid.
Right. Those teams need the auto bid. They're still playing. Everybody that's playing is still playing, is still up here.
If you're Rider, the 11 seed in the Metro Atlantic tournament up there, you could still make it, but it's only going to be through an automatic bid.
Right. Yeah.
But what if I'm a Colgate fan and I have a top 10 ranking in the net?
Still need.
Well, let's take a look. Here's the Patriot League Colgate regular type. You got to win the automatic bid.
Yeah. Still, yeah, because they're, I mean, yeah, they got a top 10 ranking, but they're in
regular. They're not in italics. They're not in italics. It doesn't matter.
You're right.
I mean, right now, if Baylor was in regular type, then they would only get in through an automatic bid.
Right. But yeah.
I think if we look up there, we'll find out. Oh, what a big surprise here. There they are. Baylor is in bold.
Yeah, so, they're bold. Right. So the committee knows to take them.
Let's go over to our Hoops HD hot seat.
Yes.
And again, what's the hot seat?
Well, these are coaches that, you know, whose jobs are in jeopardy. They're on the hot seat. They need to have a big March, a big championship week, a big NCAA tournament to save their jobs. And, right. And you know, we look at people, obviously Tony Bennett at Virginia, he was at Wazoo. Wazoo has not been good. He does not leave the cupboard full. You have Roy Williams, who came from Kansas. Kansas, very good. So you got to question whether or not how much of that had to do with Roy. I forget why Scott Drew was up there. Oh, yeah, not filling the arenas this year. Yeah. Indiana's next head coach simply because it's Indiana, and you're never not on the hunt. So, again, like everybody up there for various reasons. Coach Cape because what he's done at Utah.
Yeah. And Norman Dale because he would get in fights with players, and his players would be getting in fights with other teams.
Let's take a look at today because we're going to go to a coach that, I'll give him a little bit of credit. He's actually won a couple of national championships. Oh. However, he is clearly on the hot seat this year because there's Jay Wright. And even more important in the city of Philadelphia than winning a championship is winning Big Five games and one Big Five win this season. All they did was beat St. Joe's.
Yeah,
everybody beat St. Joe's this year.
Everybody beat St. Joe's. So, I mean, just a total lack of production in the Big Five this year, only winning one game. Yeah, that's going to get your seat heated.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to put him on the hot seat because he had toned down his wardrobe considerably this year.
That might be the reason why he only won one Big Five game. You know, normally you go out there with those three-piece suits and it intimidates the opponents. You go out there in a sweatshirt.
Right. Yeah.
So, Jay, get the three-piece suit back.
Oh,
we
man.
Respect it. And win more Big Five games. Find a way. Maybe Temple will win the automatic bid out of the American. You can beat them in the NCAA tournament. You got to find a way to win more Big Five games, though.
Yeah, and you kind of hate to see it. You know, he's a pretty good guy, had a pretty decent career. You hate to see his seat hot like that, but it is.
It's definitely a hot seat. Let's pull this out here and go to the final thoughts. John?
I mean, 20 years is going to be kind of a benchmark here. Hofstra, they were supposed to have ended their 20-year drought last year. It would have been their first NCAA tournament bid since, of all people, Jay Wright was their head coach. But unfortunately, they got passed over because of COVID-19. And this year, Appalachian State suddenly on the door of breaking a long, long, long 21-year drought themselves.
You know what? I got to agree with you about the Hofstra thing. I do feel good that they are in and they're one of the favorites now, maybe even to win the Colonial, because it would be a feel-good story if they make it this year after what happened to them last year, because they were one of the teams that was going to be such a good feel-good story to make the NCAA tournament. David, you want to finish us off?
Yeah, just with Winthrop finishing the season with only one loss, with Belmont, while they ended up with four, they had a really big year. You also have Loyola Chicago and Drake. There's a lot of under-the-radar teams that are finishing the year with very, very bloated records. And, I don't think Belmont has any shot at all at getting selected. They just kind of petered out down the stretch. But, you know, where is Winthrop going to be seated? Where's Drake? Is Drake going to be selected? Where does Loyola end up? Like, when you have this many teams with three losses or fewer, it's kind of interesting.
It would have been one thing for Belmont to say, okay, we were without Nick Mazinski and they lose to Moorhead in Eastern Kentucky. But when your team is healthy and you're getting blown out by Moorhead, forget it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Belmont has any shot at that large bid. I think they, I think they could sneak into the NIT and that's about it. Drake, just a quick correction. I think I said they were 25-3. They're actually 25-4. They lost twice to Loyola. They lost games to Bradley and Valpo as well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was actually me. I called them 25-3 earlier. So, but on that note, I guess on behalf of John Slica down there over in the Puppet Bunker, we have David Griggs. So we got the power back on for you today. I just noticed that.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know. We're having some food problems, I think, but that's going to be another story for another day.
The best thing is just to just let me out of here.
we'll think about that next month. We'll be back again tomorrow night. We've got a bracket rundown show we're going to do tomorrow night, as well as a video notebook. So busy night tomorrow night. But until then, have a great night and a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.